السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Male hijab is hardly ever discussed in our communities. Always when we discuss hijab, you'll always find a group of people advising the sisters on hijab or bashing the sisters on hijab. And hardly ever do we see discussions about the men's hijab. And sometimes the male hijab is what leaves a lot to be desired. Because although the male's hijab seems to be a lot easier than the hijab that our sisters wear, we still find that some of us are lacking in our understanding of maintaining that male hijab. I'm sure you'll all agree with me that growing up in our communities and growing up in our mosques, more often than not, you'll hear lectures which are telling the ladies, make sure you're wearing proper hijab, don't let a single hair out of your hijab. Why are you, for example, becoming lazy in the way you're wearing hijab? Why is your hijab this? Why is your hijab that? Okay, but how about the hijab of the male? Because the reality is that if we're going to build a community, a moral community, there's going to be responsibilities which have to be there for the males and the females to work together to build that moral community. If I'm going to come and lecture all the females in the community and tell them, do you know about the hijab of Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam? Do you know the hijab of Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam? And then they're like, well, why don't you discuss with the guys about the hijab of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or the hijab of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? Someone's like, what do you mean the hijab of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? Are you telling me that Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam used to wear a hijab? When we come to therefore discussing hijab, the first area God discussed hijab was in relation to the males. But the way we make it sound within our discussions, which in reality at times has put many ladies, put them off from wearing hijab. Why? Because they're like, if God in the Quran has discussed the male hijab first, why is it that you only talk about the female hijab in the lectures? Why is it that we focus so much on the female hijab in the community, or female modesty, let's say, and we don't talk about male modesty? At the end of the day, we have a responsibility with our clothing, and the sisters in our community have a responsibility with their clothing. But we have a responsibility with our social behavior, and they have a responsibility with their social behavior. Unfortunately, in the Muslim community, you'll find that many people stress on the female and her modesty, and the female, and for example, her bashfulness, the female and her shyness, the female and her clothing, without much mention of males in the community and their hijab or their clothing. You may have seen sometimes, even on social media, you look at a friend of yours, and on his account, you're like, that's not the way that I'm meant to dress as a Muslim. If at times you may find someone who's not wearing anything. If a sister in the community, for example, did that, straight away we'll be attacking. But when somebody, for example, poses without their top on social media, you'll find guys will be like, bro, you look buff, bro, you look amazing, bro, wow, you look henge, bro, have you been going to the gym? The clear contrast is unfortunate. But when you look within the Holy Quran, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only addresses male hijab first, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the outset makes it clear that both the male and the female are on the same spiritual journey. We're not looking at males as higher than females or males as being spiritually greater than females. If you look, for example, my dear brothers and sisters at home, look in Surah 33. Let's begin this discussion on how God makes clear that the male humility and the female humility, the male modesty and the female modesty, the male protection of private parts and the female protection of private parts are all part of the religion of Islam. You don't just focus on the female. Look in Surah 33 of the Quran, verse number 35. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna al-Muslimina wal-Muslimati wal-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minati wal-Qanitina wal-Qanitati wal-Sadiqina wal-Sadiqati wal-Sabirina wal-Sabirati wal-Khashi'ina wal-Khashi'ati والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Here, this is one of the most wonderful ayahs because it shows us that God isn't saying the Muslim men are the best, nobody comes near the Muslim men, don't talk about the Muslim men. No. The Muslim men and the Muslim women, and the believing men and the believing woman, and the obedient men and the obedient woman, and the truthful men and the truthful, patient men and patient, humble men and humble, almsgiving men and almsgiving, fasting men and fasting, men who guard their private parts and the woman who guard their private parts. And then it goes on to say, men who remember Allah much and women who remember Allah much, for them has been prepared forgiveness and a great recompense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is singling out the woman here in our community, or is he saying both of you can reach the same spiritual heights? Both of you have a responsibility ethically with your private parts. The best of you men who guard their private parts, the areas which are meant to be the parts where a male hijab is observed, and the female has her responsibilities with her hijab as well. And so naturally, when we think of male hijab, the first thing that comes into our mind is clothing. What clothing, for example, are we as men meant to wear? And there's an ayah in Surah Al-A'raf where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again is not focusing on just female hijab or female clothing. In our communities, what do we think about straight away? We think about the female and her clothing, the female and her hijab. In the Quran, there's this wonderful ayah. I love the conclusion of this ayah, my dear brothers and sisters. In Surah Al-A'raf, Surah 7, verse number 26 of the Holy Quran, you'll find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up a huge section of detail on male hijab, especially in what we are meant to wear, both physically and in terms of spiritually. So if you look in Surah 7, verse number 26, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya Bani Adam. Bani Adam is only females? The children of Adam, are they only females? No. Bani Adam, the children of Adam, can either be male or they can be female. Here, God again is reminding us, don't go to a direction where you single out only the females. Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ. We have sent down unto you a clothing that covers your shame, covers your private parts, covers your decency. We have in our discussions in Islamic law, discussions concerning the awra, correct? You sometimes hear that this is your awra. There's a certain area where different jurists give different opinions, but that area is meant to be covered. How many times have you prayed Salat al-Jama'ah? And as you're going down and there's someone in front of you, you see unfortunately the whole of their backside. And you're just thinking, this has put me off. Whatever food they're going to give after Salah, I've been put off. It's put me off the whole day now. Every time I'm going down into ruku', this person, mashallah, the sun is shining from them. Then every time I go down towards sujood, this person, and what they're doing, they're scampering. So you'll see them because they know there's a problem. Because especially with the type of jeans that us guys wear, speaker included, the type of jeans that us guys will wear, sometimes those jeans are designed in a way where they're just going to be dropping. Sometimes, I remember at school, there was a generation that honestly, I don't think they ever checked the waist size of the jean, because the way the jeans used to come literally, they used to come like below the thigh. I don't know if in prisons, if you had your jeans down that much, if that was giving a hint to other prisoners. But one thing I do know is that there was a certain culture in certain societies where they'll walk around and you're like, bro, can you just lift the jeans just a little? Because it's not a nice sight for the eyes. Even you'll find some ladies, they'll say to you, listen, I like the male body, but not enough for you to wear jeans that skinny. You know, wear skinny jeans, but wear with a certain limitation, maybe a little bit on skinny slim rather than skinny. Because you'll see some people when they're wearing that type of jean, if you're telling the girl, you know what, you can't be wearing skinny jeans because it reveals yours. But if you're wearing jeans that skinny, that's a different league. And I'm not going to deny, sometimes those jeans, they look amazing. But sometimes when it's coming to a sense of respect and salah and going to the mosque, you're looking at yourself and you're like, you know what, I'm best make sure that I'm wearing a long top because every time I'm going down, those jeans are going down with me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ. We sent down for you clothing which protects your private parts. It protects your private parts. It's not to be that clothing which exposes a certain area. Even if I'm going swimming, for example, there are certain swimming trunks I can wear which Islam allows. And there's certain swimming trunks which are not allowed. You know, if a person is going to go swimming, and you'll see that somebody might go swimming with a pair of trunks, for example, or even go a bit further than that, wearing what they call speedos. If you wear the speedos, then those speedos that you're wearing are not necessarily going to fall into the category. Yes, someone says, Sayyidina, I'm protecting my private parts. A person can use their imagination and realize what is going on in your private parts. If you're going to be wearing something like that, that is not hijab, even though someone is protecting their private parts. Because someone can say, here, libasan yuwari, so I am protecting my private areas. But for us, no, there is still a recognition of an awrah. And that's why you'll find that unfortunately, within our mosques, if a person comes to salah, if I look at Yasir, for example, now look at Yasir. Yasir is a prime example of somebody who's wearing a dishdasha sitting in front of me. I'm not saying that the dishdasha has to be worn 24/7, but at least when he's coming to the mosque, for example, you're not going to be worried, are you, about, for example, your jeans falling? But if you're not wearing a dishdasha, how worried are you? Aren't you sweating sometimes? So what happens is that sometimes a person is literally thinking, and they're not comfortable. Subhanallah, as a human being, even the person whose genes are falling still thinks of putting them back up. It's as if you're programmed as a human being to recognize that as a man, there's a certain amount of modesty that I have to observe. Because what are these discussions of male hijab or female hijab? Islam, as a way of life, is trying to regulate a system where we respect ourselves as well as other people. That's it. If you believe that you have a system for doing it, follow your system. Islam, one of its ways was that a person realizes that the private parts, there's a certain section, let's say above the belly button, just above the belly button, and just below, for example, the private areas towards the knees, that section over there, let's say that is an area that has to be covered, an area that has to be protected. How many people mention this about the male's hijab? It's as if our brothers or us guys, if we want to go anywhere, we're allowed to get away with it. Why our poor wives are standing in the corner of the sea or the corner of the beach. And that's why some people, when they look at Muslims, they're like, we don't understand you guys. You've gone out for a day out. The guy's wearing shorts and his missus is covered up with 3 layers. What's going on over here? There's no doubt that the female body is a billion times more attractive than the male. But at the same time, there is a recognition in this ayah of the Quran that Ya Bani Adama, not O Nisa and Nabi, Ya Ayatul Nisa. No. Ya Bani Adama, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. But we don't also want you to reach a level where you think that the clothing that you wear is clothing that shouldn't beautify you. Rish, what do we mean when we say Rish? A rish, or the feathers, or that which adorns. You know, you see these birds and they wanna show their beauty, don't they? And so what you have here is the idea of warishan is that the clothes are meant to beautify you as well. Well, sometimes you might see a Muslim who's like, brother, Anna, I want to maintain my male modesty. Intimate, you're maintaining your male modesty, but you're looking in bethel as you're walking out of that house, true? You're looking in absolute mess. There's no harm a person wearing clothing that beautifies them, but within limits. Within limits. I, for example, may see something which I really want to wear. It beautifies me, but there's a limit to what I'm allowed to wear. There may be certain things, even in the fashion world today, you might see certain things where you might see a top and it's got like 23 holes in it. It's a nice top. It might look cool. But the problem is, if someone's nipples are sticking out of that top, that is not something which is seen as being the modesty that we're expecting. And that's why sometimes you hear concepts called libas al-shuhra. Libas al-shuhra might be that which completely stands out of the norm. which brings too much attention onto yourself. That is also part of male hijab. That yes, I can wear something which is cool. Listen, I love to see the pieces out there. I want to look at what Vuitton has. I want to look at what Prada has, what Saint Laurent has. I want to see what these designers have. But sometimes, even I will look at some of these garments and say to myself, ah, I can't be wearing that. That's just, it's just not right if I'm wearing that. So therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran said, Ya bani Adam, qad anzalna alaykum libasan yuwari sawatikum. We said for your clothing, well, you've got to protect your private parts, okay? And what? Warishan, that which beautifies you. But what's the best libas that you could wear? Wa libasu taqwa. Is there any hijab company called Taqwa? There isn't. Libas al-taqwa is not the clothing only. It's your mannerism with what you're wearing. It's your akhlaq with other people. Hijab in itself, there could be a hijab of the heart as well. It's not just the hijab of clothing. You could be a man who wears the best dishdasha ever stitched for mankind. But you could be that same person who's very rude to people. You could be a man who's wearing the nicest dishdasha in the history of mankind. But you could be someone who causes trouble amongst the people. Libas al-taqwa is this consciousness of Allah's presence as well. That even if I do wear, is Islam necessarily against wearing something expensive? Not necessarily. You may be an imam like Imam al-Kadhim or Imam al-Radha alayhim as-salam, and you might wear something nice. You may be a prophet like Nabi Yusuf alayhi as-salam. You might wear something nice. But if that which you wear makes you more arrogant than others, or makes you look down at others, believe you me, there are many Muslims in the world who wear nice clothing. There are many Muslims, if you go to central London today, and you go, for example, to Selfridges, or you go to Harrods, or any of these stores, you'll see a lot of Muslims. But if that clothing that you're wearing is a clothing that makes you look down at others, that look what you're wearing is nothing compared to what I'm wearing, then you have not achieved the main hijab. That main hijab is libas al-taqwa. Libas al-taqwa, dhalika khair. That is the best hijab that you can wear, whether you're a male or you're a female. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. This is for those who are mindful. يَا بَنِي آدَمَ لَا يَفْتِنَنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ. Allahu Akbar. On the issue of male hijab, don't let shaytan deceive you. كَمَا أَخْرَجَ أَبَوَيْكُمْ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا. Now we know Adam and Eve in Jannah, they had their encounter with Shaytan. The moment they realized they were naked, they covered themselves, true? Humanity from Adam and Eve's descent into the earth, at the beginning, weren't wearing much clothes. When you see the depictions, and then we started slowly to wear more and more clothing, didn't we? Until we reached a level in this country 100 years ago where even the ladies were wearing hijab when they leave the house. Even the queen, if I'm not mistaken, would either wear hats or sometimes wears a scarf when she leaves the house. It's as if the human being, the more they covered themselves, the higher they were. Because they had learned from what had happened from Adam and even we had evolved. Have we really evolved? Or are we back to nudity in our world today? If you look in some sections of the world, it's very normal to have a male model walking in the catwalk virtually naked. Very normal. It's very normal to have imagery of males naked in the world today. Very normal. The sad thing is when it begins to affect the Muslim community, we thought that as Muslims, we would recognize that I, as a Muslim male, I recognize that I'm not going to take pictures of myself not wearing a top, for example, and put it online and posing online with these pictures. You would think that because you'd think that there would be a level of decency. And yet how many do you see in the Muslim world who will say, you know, the sisters, their hijab's bad. The sisters have lost their hijab. Brother, how about yours? How about yours? Why are you bashing the sisters? The Quran said, don't fall for what happened. When Adam and Eve, يَنْزِعُ عَنْهُمَا لِبَاسَهُمَا لِيُرِيَهُمَا. So atihima. Here he continues by saying, "Innahu yarakum huwa wa qabilu min haythu la tarawnahum." Shaytan, his soldiers, they can come to you from every angle, and they'll tempt you, And they'll say to you, you know what? There's no need for you to be modest. What's the need for you to be modest? Enjoy yourself. The main thing is give a donation to the mosque, for example. The main thing is make sure you turn up at certain parts of the year, like Shahar Ramadan or Laylatul Qadr. Allah will forgive you everything. What was interesting here is that Allah took us back to our origin. That don't come back to this moment where you were exposed. Rather, you have a male hijab as well. And on that point of male hijab, you can imagine we're living in Medina. And when we're living in Medina, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to build a society where we have that chastity, where we have that modesty. Amongst the areas of modesty for male hijab, for example, how many times you see men, I've seen this when I go back to Iraq, for example, they'll walk into your auntie's house. He literally is open to the, Ya Allah, Baba. What, are the ladies just going to stick a hijab on their head straight away? Ya Allah, ready or not? Some of them don't even say Ya Allah. And you're looking at him, you're like, hold on a minute, what are you doing here? Because that person is not mahram to you. So what the Quran began to do was to tell certain men, part of your hijab is before you enter someone's house who's not mahram to you, step back, make sure they're ready. Look in Surah 24 of the Quran. In Surah 24 of the Holy Quran, you see the series of verses which begin to discuss the hijab of the males. If our missus walked into our mate's house, and she just walked in like that, how many of us would be, what are you doing? How dare you? What type of hijab? Ma and jai, shut up, this, that. Okay, the Quran said, wait, how about you guys? How are you just walking into your friend's house, his sister? Because you know there'll be some people, they'll go to their friend's house, and the friend's not there, so you know, I'm just going to chill with his missus for half an hour until he comes. Nah, that's not male hijab. That's not male hijab. We don't have such a thing. Because you alone with her, shaitan is the third of the three. All shaitan needs to do is whisper something to you. All shaitan needs to do is whisper something to her. And what, do we think that we're at that level of taqwa where our shield is able to protect us from being destroyed? How many have fallen in that moment? Many have fallen. If you look in Surah 24 of the Quran, verse number 27. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. La tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum. Hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. O you who believe, don't enter houses other than your houses until you have sought familiarity and then you salute the inmates of that house. Because we, in our culture, some of us will say, Ya Allah, before we enter. Some people will say, Ya Allah, while entering. بعد قلب enter, you're entering. You're already in there. Then Anna, my mother, how quick do you expect her to wear her hijab? And there are some, you'll always have that one cousin, he'll enter, no Ya Allah, no nothing. You're ready or not, here I am. There's a male hijab for us as Muslims. Someone says to me, Sayyidina, you don't understand. My second cousin's like my sister. Ba'ad galbi, she is like your sister, she's not your sister. Sayyidina, you don't understand. That person's grown up in my house. I've seen her grow up since the age of 6. Why do I need to say Ya Allah? Your hijab, you have to observe it. Don't worry about her hijab. Your hijab, you have to observe. Best if the mu'minun are helpers of one another and we want to build a better society, then we help one another, don't we? We call out to one another. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutan ghayra buyutikum hatta tastanisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. Only a person who has no religion would enter a house without permission, would smash a door of a house without permission. Only a person like that would enter. Otherwise, us, we are people who are brought up on this. And these are basic moral points, by the way. But how much they safeguard taqwa? ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَّكَّرُونَ. This is best for you. That before you enter someone's house, not mahram to you. Okay, what happens if I don't find the person I'm looking for? فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُ فِيهَا أَحَدًا فَلَا تَدْخُلُوا حَتَّى يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ. If you don't hear a reply saying, مثلاً, you know what, come in, then stay outside. Or you're like, is so-and-so here? They're like, no, please come in, come in. La, 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 I'm not coming in. أنا عندي حجاب. You have a hijab. You don't want to observe yours. I have to observe my hijab. وَإِن قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجِعُوا فَارْجِعُوا هُوَ أَزْكَى لَكُمْ. And if it's said to you, because you might get that one lady who'll say to you, because you're like, can I just come in quickly? No. You're like, no, really, no, you can't come in. And so Quran says, if it tells you go, then go. It's better for you. Because you Arabs, only Allah knows what you'll end up doing. Okay? So here, what do we have? We have the male hijab being shown on a social level. But then when we go to verse number 30, this is the main verse in reality to a male hijab. Okay? This verse is very interesting. Why? Because the verse after it speaks about female hijab. Do we agree? The verse after it is the most famous ayah about female hijab. But did Allah address male hijabs first or female? Said Murtada, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed male hijab first or the female hijab first? Male. You agree? The male hijab was addressed first. Why is it then us as Muslim scholars are always talking about female hijab? If you look in Surah 24, verse number 30, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ طبعاً, this verse, I'm telling you, if there's a verse which is difficult to implement in as a Muslim, especially from your youth, it's this one. Let's see if you guys agree with me. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men of your community, O Prophet of God, to يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, to lower from their gaze. You see a beautiful girl. She walks right across you. Stunning. Would you lower from your gaze or you keep staring? And you can't lie because you're on TV. So you have witnesses from around the world and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. I'm not going to deny, my dear brothers and sisters, that if men, in some cases, did not reach the level of perversion, there are some men, they'll look, but there's some who are literally perversion, then we wouldn't have the issues which we always blame the sisters for, because the men have their responsibility as well. Here the Quran says first, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ or قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ, which one? قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ. غَضْ, غَضْ الْبَصَار, can have two types of meanings. The first type of meaning of غَضْ الْبَصَار is to lower from your gaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not asking you to walk like this. Otherwise, I'm going to smash my head in every lamppost. I'm going to walk into people. I'm going to trip over someone's dog. Yeah? If I'm going to walk... يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, on the one level, that min means lower a part of your gaze. يَغُضُّ أَبْصَارِهِمْ or يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ means that, you know what, just lower it a little bit when you see someone who's not mahram to you. Listen, your missus, you can stare at her 24/7. Someone who's not mahram to you, that's someone's missus, that's someone's daughter, whatever, lower your gaze a little. Yeah? يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ, one meaning is lower. Another meaning is soften your gaze. There's some guys, when they look at girls like this, this person has virtually, honestly, with his eyes, he's destroyed this girl. With his eye. Where the girl herself, from where she is, subhanAllah, you haven't even touched her, but the girl herself feels uncomfortable. Can you imagine? There are some people, the look they give is what? It's like that. Bro. Bro, 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 bro. Bro. We used to always say that the first look, they used to say, is allowed. So someone used to say, okay, this is my first look. Because, you know, they say one of the reasons this ayah was revealed was that there was a person who had seen a stunning lady in Arabia. And tomorrow when we discuss the female hijab, you'll see that at the beginning, Arab ladies, when they were wearing hijab, their bosom cleavage area used to show. For that Arab man, when he's in Medina at the time, he's already gone. It's hot. He's gone. On top of that, when the wind comes, a little bit of a breeze in Medina, what's happening to the Arab man? He sees her go one way, he's following. He sees her go another way, he's following. He sees her until what happens? He doesn't see that there's a pole sticking out of the wall. More, I'm telling you, there are people with their look. They can have not a soft look, staunch look, until whatever's in front of them, they lose sight of. There are people who've crashed cars looking at girls who are not mahram to them. True? There are people who've crashed cars because he's like, ooh. I just crashed the car. This person cuts his head. When he cuts his head, what's interesting is that he comes to the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. He says, Subhya Rasulallah, I have to admit, I rate this guy for admitting. Because I've read another narration about the reason of the revelation of this verse was that Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas, if I'm not mistaken, he saw this beautiful lady. She's gone one way, he's looked another. He's gone one way, he's gone looking, 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 looking. Won't, there's not one look, Baba. He's talking about 36 cuts over here. He's looking, looking, looking until Rasulullah just gave him a little one around. He's like, come here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men to lower from their gaze or to soften the gaze. Lower in the idea of ghadh from the idea of naqsan, or lower in the idea of ghadh from which angle? For example, a plant which is soft. Yes? When they talk of a particular nabat, they might call it ghadh. For example, it is soft. You as a Muslim, all your looks generally should be soft. We shouldn't really be having dirty looks, whether it's literally or metaphorically. Literally, I shouldn't be looking at someone dirties. Metaphorically, I shouldn't be looking at someone in a dirty way. Here, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. The first understanding was what? Was you as a Muslim. Your desire shouldn't overtake your intellect. Your intellect should overcome your desire. If your desire overtakes your intellect, you and the haywan, there's no difference between them. You and the animal, there's no difference between you. But you who've been given al-quwwa al-aqliyya, that quwwa al-aqliyya is meant to override. Someone says, Sayyidina, but what if I want to see her for marriage? Ha! You want to see her for marriage is a different story. For marriage, it's not just one look. For marriage, you could go and chill with her. For marriage, you could go out with her. For marriage, you can even. Sometimes our culture is the problem, not the religion. Our culture gives you a headache when you want to see a girl for marriage. We'll show you her picture, but we're going to zoom out, zoom in. We'll take it from a certain angle. Baba, what am I seeing for the love of God? A picture of a prophet of Allah. All I want to see is this. No, our daughter doesn't give her pictures away. Our Facebook account. Wallah, I'll show you the Facebook account. Bittil hulu. I'm trying to show you that if you go to Facebook, your daughter has more pictures than most. I'm not saying that's a problem, but you as a parent, why are you not allowing someone who's come to propose? All he wants to do, the poor guy, is see the girl before he comes to propose. Seeing a girl before I propose, am I allowed more than one look? Of course I am. So therefore, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. The male hijab, does that mean that the male's hijab is only one look in every context? No. Because I know with my family, I can have more than one look. With my wife, I can have more than one look. Therefore, it's in the context of what? In the context where your look is a look of desire. Your look is a look which takes the desires to the nafs on a level where it lowers from the self. Okay? قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men, where's the ladies? Why are you attacking all the ladies in the community about hijab when the first ayat are about the men? Because if the men are perverts, if the men are perverted, then how? What's the point of the lady wearing all the hijab in the world if the men themselves have no modesty? قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the believing men, they cast down their gaze or they soften their gaze. Habibi, don't look at a person like it's an animal walking. And cast down their gaze and they guard their private parts. Question, what's the connection between the look and the private part? Because the eye drags the heart. And once the heart has gone in a direction, there's no limit to what you'll do. The eye, I can either use it in halal or haram. Do you agree? They say that on the day of judgment, every eye will cry except three. And of those three are those that were opened for the sake of Allah. أنا when I'm using this eye, this eye is a gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for me to do haram with. Here God is showing that you males, your hijab is that this eye that I've given you, you lower the gaze. And not you lower the gaze, you realize that this eye, if you let it loose, the heart will be dragged. If the heart is dragged, your desires, there is no limit to what will happen. Because from there you can go into an unbelievable territory, because the eye takes snapshots. Look today at the world of porn. You look at the world of porn, what's it beginning with? I have a look for 30 seconds, for a minute, and then from there, what I've looked at, my heart wants to see again, until I can't protect my private parts, until I'll end up playing with myself while watching porn. These things I say because the amount of emails I receive from people who are addicted. Addicted. The Quran said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Because what you're looking at goes here. Once it goes here, it could lead to a direction where you could be destroyed. Your hijab as a male, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ. ذَلِكَ what? ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. It's purer for them. Can I guarantee you, by the way, that if all of us lowered our gaze and every lady on earth wore hijab, can I guarantee you that we would have complete purification and perfection? No, I can't. I can't guarantee that. But could we possibly have a healthier society when there is a respect from both the males and the females? Of course we can. We can build on a healthier society when the male is observing their hijab and the female observes theirs. Therefore, in the Quran here, it's very interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first ayah on the male hijab, on the hijab, was with the male. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُ. It's as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you can get past this first 50%, the other 50 is easy. Get past stage 1 and 2, which is the men. Then stage 3 and 4, the ladies, that's easy. But if the men on stage 1 and 2 are not doing what their responsibility is, then nothing's going to change. But if the men look after what their responsibility is, then you'll see. Has it been applied Quranically? Is there a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran? He's religious, obviously he's a prophet. Meets religious girls. Maintains his male hijab. Musa alayhi salam has left the land of Egypt. He's left as a fugitive. Surah 28. Let's go to Surah 28. Let's see male hijab in action, because I always hear about Fatima Zahra, female hijab, Sayyidah Zainab, female hijab. Let's hear male hijab. Let's see male hijab in the Quran. Let's see its implementation. Musa alayhi salam is homeless. And I'm gonna stress on these things, by the way. Moses is homeless. So whenever you see someone homeless, soften your heart for them, because Nabi Musa was homeless one day. Musa's a fugitive on the run, because now there's someone who's died because of him. This person who grew up in the court of Pharaoh is now a fugitive on the run. Is Moses single at this stage or married? Single. When we're single, all of us wants to look. And I'll tell you, it's a trial. It's a trial. Because in this country, London, in the UK, or if you're living in America, or you're living even in the Middle East these days, when it's hot, how do you lower that gaze? You know, the only way you could do it, it's a major training. You know, there's some exercises in the gym which you got to work on so much before you can get to a particular level. You can't just do it in one day. You got to stick on that machine for months on months until you can trim down to a certain level. I think lowering the gaze for the male, it's at that level. But part of the male hijab as well was even the beard they would talk about as being part of male hijab. Nabi Musa alayhi salam was known to have one. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi was known to have one. Part of male hijab was that they'd never wear gold and they'd never wear silk. Ladies love silk. Ladies love gold. Do you agree? For a Muslim man, gold is haram. Gold cannot be worn. Why? I don't know. You can tell me science. This is, I don't know. I said Imam al-Sadiq said gold is haram. We're not allowed to wear gold. It's funny how people pick and choose which of Imam al-Sadiq they like. Silk. Ladies love to wear silk tops. They love to wear things made of silk. As a Muslim man, am I allowed to wear silk? No. That's all under hijab. The beard is hijab. Not wearing silk is hijab. Not wearing gold is hijab. Looking after the awrah and the private areas and not exposing them is hijab. Lowering my gaze is hijab. Protecting my private parts is hijab. Musa alayhi salam is in the middle of this area. And when he comes in the middle of this area, the Quran says in verse 22 of Surah 28, وَلَمَّا تَوَجَّهَ تِلْقَاءَ مَدْيَنَا قَالَ عَسَى رَبِّي أَن يَهْدِيَنِي سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ. Do you know what's beautiful about this story? Sometimes if a male has looked after their hijab properly, a girl is more attracted to him, irrespective of whether he's homeless, got no money, and is no one known. Our criteria for someone who will get accepted for marriage is they should have big money. Moses is a homeless man in the middle of nowhere. He's just prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, inshallah you guide me on the right path. My Lord, guide me on the right path. Where did he arrive to? Madian. وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. He came to Madian and he saw some people. What were they doing? They were watering their flocks. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ. Who did he see next to them? He saw امرأتين تذودان. He saw amongst them two women who were holding back. So you can imagine the scene. That it's like, if you imagine like an oasis, and there's all these men who are, you know, acting so-called macho, I'm going to get mine. Baba, you can see there's two ladies. What's interesting here, Moses sees them. Someone says, Sayyidina, I thought you can't look at ladies. La, you can look, but not with a look that is a look of temptation and desire where you virtually are destroying that lady just by staring at her like this. It's not haram to talk. Listen, I'm at work. I'm going to talk to a lady who's a fellow colleague, for example. It's not haram. It's the intention behind the look. وَوَجَدَ مِن دُونِهِمْ امْرَأَتَيْنِ تَذُودَانِ قَالَ مَا خَطْبُكُمَا. What's going on here? What's going on? What's happening? He's approached them. He sees there's two ladies. Even as a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a responsibility. If he sees any form of oppression, he goes to speak. Why are these two ladies in our community? And you see the problem sometimes in our community, especially where we grew up. You either went out with a girl or you couldn't even speak to a girl. There was nothing in the middle. So you either had people who went out with a girl, or you had people who never in their life chatted to any girl. Musa alayhi salam is showing you, Baba, male hijab is not one extreme or the other. I'm not telling you when you see a girl, oh, I can't look at you, don't talk to me. Nor am I telling you take every girl out in the whole world. What we're saying is that if there are girls or there are sisters, there are ladies in our community, male hijab dictates a certain amount of bashfulness and respect, what we call haya, when we talk to somebody. True? What do they say? We can't take any water until the shepherds take their sheep away. وَأَبُونَا شَيْخٌ كَبِيرٌ. Our father. Are they having a conversation? Yes, they are. Does that mean male hijab means I can't talk to a sister in the community? Maybe. Look, maybe there are certain traditions which may say you shouldn't start off the conversation, this and that. But here, Moses, alayhi salam, with two sisters, with two girls in the community, is talking. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. He said, you know what? You're telling me the men, none of them have shown courtesy and chivalry to you? Said, no, none of them. فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل فقال ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. He went to a corner. My Lord, what you've sent down unto me is good. I still stand in need. They, according to one narration, went home to their father. Dad. He's like, how did you guys get this water back? You know what? There's this man, he came with us. Man? So are wearing hijab. Yeah, he wore hijab as well. How? On our way to the house, We wanted to talk to him and to guide him how to get home. He said, because I'm not mahram to you, I have to wear hijab. I have to observe my hijab. Wear hijab means a cloth? No. You get some pebbles, flick them in front of me in the direction towards the house. Let's keep it at that. We don't need to go any further. We've already introduced ourselves. Courteous. I've helped you out. We'll go to your house. One opinion it was then. Another opinion was no. When one of them then told the dad said, okay, go back and collect him, when he came back alone with her. Because for us as males, look, when you're alone with the opposite gender, everything's going through your head. Especially if you've really wanted to go out with this girl, but you also have a hijab to observe like she does. And that hijab is not just the clothing. There has to be a certain modesty and make sure you don't do haram. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. I love this line. One of them came, one of the two girls came walking bashfully. استحياء. You know, sometimes the one who has no sense of modesty should go, ما يستحي. True? هذا ما يستحي. عمار نقشواني ما يستحي. But here's the opposite. فَجَاءَتْهُ إِحْدَاهُمَا تَمْشِي عَلَى اسْتِحْيَاءَ. One of the two women came and she was walking what? Bashfully. There was a real haya about the way she was looking after herself, the way she was walking, the way she was talking. But she fell in love with him not because of the fact that he's a prophet. She hasn't got a clue. But because she saw his male hijab was at a level of perfection. There was chivalry, male hijab, chivalry, respect, a form of honor. قالت إن أبي يدعوك ليجزيك أجر ما سقيت لنا. My father has invited you so that he can recompense you. He can give you back for the water that you've given to us. The next verse says, قالت إحداهما. Now the girl, because she's seen a male in the community who has that modesty, has that decency, she wants him for marriage. Number one, can a girl ask for the guy's hand, or can only the guy ask for a girl's hand in Islam? It could go for the guy asking for the girl. It could be a girl asking for the guy. Number two, does she care he's homeless? Does she care that he's on the run? She's seen that maybe he's accused of a crime he hasn't committed. Or maybe the fact that he doesn't have a house because there's certain circumstances dictating why he could not have a house, for example, just now. She looks at her dad. قالت أحداهما يا أبتي. You know that ta in يا أبتي? You can't just translate that as, oh my father. That ta is for hub, for takrim. Oh my dear father. قالت يا أبتي. استأجر. Employ him. إن خير من استأجرت قوي أمين. قوي أمين. إن خير من استأجرت الله. قوي يل أمين. The Alif Lam here is saying what? Employ him because he not is strong and is trustworthy. He is the strongest I've ever seen. And he is the most trustworthy. Her dad says, why strongest? He said, because I've never seen anyone carry water like that. We know Nabi Musa alayhi salam, you don't mess with the size of his arms. Yep. And why was he trustworthy? Because dad, I'm your daughter. He could have exploited me. He could have done haram with me. He could have done anything he wanted if he didn't have that hijab, that modesty. But dad, he brought me to the house full of respect. The dad straight away said, you want to marry him? She said, I do. Moses, no money. Moses, no house. The dad found within him male hijab. He said, that's a decent human being. I want him. In our community, even if someone has got good hijab, good manners, good decency, you'll still find people putting 65 conditions before the person gets married in some cases. So what did the dad do? قال إني أريد أن أنكحك إحدى ابنتي هاتين على أن تأجرني ثمانية حجاج. I want you to marry one of these two daughters of mine. You worked for me for 8 years. فإن أتممت عشرا فمن عندك. If I heard that, of course, from my father-in-law, that he says, listen, you can marry my daughter, but you go work for me for 8 years, I'll tell you the honest truth, I'll run away. Because, you know, looking at your father-in-law for an hour is enough, but to think that I have to sit with him for 8 years every day. But he didn't make the caveat. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ. But I don't want to make life hard for you. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. You'll find me as one of the righteous people. The one interaction of beautiful male hijab with beautiful female hijab led to a man who talked to Allah and destroyed the most arrogant emperor. The fruits of understanding hijab as a male, only Allah can reward. For there are many traditions that say, look at my creation, that servant. While his desires are guiding him one way, he's doing this just for me. Someone says, Sayyidina, but how do I master this? And so I'm going to go back out in London. I'm going to get in my car. I'm going to go back out in London on a sunny day in the summer. Or I'm on holiday. How do I master this? Sometimes, as I said, even if you take a pause, that one split second moment, and you ask yourself, what benefit am I gaining from this? Is there a reality to even this person I'm looking at? Is this person suited for my lifestyle, etc.? Is this the way I should look at another human being? Am I looking at a human? Am I looking at an animal? Take a pause. With training, you may get to a level that's better. Azka, khair, it's a level better than the worldview that you had before. Therefore, in our communities, let's stop bashing every lady in the world when it comes to hijab and maybe focus more on the male hijab. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.